Somebody shout to the Lord. Glory. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And Super Kids, it's the fifth Sunday. Are we out today, right? Family Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there are, okay, so there are activity pages for the kids if they want those, but I get to preach to the Super Kids today, too. I almost forgot about that, but it is a pastor's dream, fifth Sunday. Five Sundays in a month is a pastor's dream. It should be your dream, too, because Sunday is our best day of the week, right? It's our day to get revived and refreshed, amen. Hallelujah, to have a Sabbath day of rest. Amen. Amen. The Sabbath wasn't, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath, Jesus said that. The Sabbath was made for our benefit, for our blessing. Hallelujah. For us to be restored and blessed and strengthened and revived and refreshed. So, hallelujah. Take it in. Receive it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And welcome online family, those of you that are joining us via YouTube, live streaming. We welcome you today. We're glad you're joining us. And I say it again, it's just better here in person. So come and be with us in person. Hallelujah. But if you can't be, we're glad you're joining us online, wherever you might be. You might be across the country or somewhere in another country. So we know you can't be here. So we're glad you're tuning in. Welcome. Praise God. Amen. Say, Pastor, you actually believe? Well, yeah, the people watch it every week. And it can go everywhere, anywhere in the world. So, amen. I believe it is. Amen. I believe what we have to say is important, and the people around the world need to hear it. Don't you? Amen. Praise God. So let's pray over the word this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us the word and guiding us into all the truth this morning. And Father, you know that I've prepared along a certain line, but if there's other things that need to be said, I trust you for utterance today. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you for this word, this message you put on my heart. I pray that you'd help me to communicate it clearly and communicate it in the way that you want it communicated today. Lord, your truth is holy and it's precious and it's wonderful. And Lord, we accept this word today not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God that will effectually work in us as we believe it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 9 this morning and verse 31. I want to read a verse here and then we'll comment on it. Acts chapter 9 verse 31, it says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Praise God. I love that verse. And this verse is a prayer. I turn it into a prayer. I like praying the word. Amen. That's the best way we can pray is the word of God. And so I take this and I make a prayer out of it. And I pray for our church. I pray for City on a Hill. Lord, I say, Lord, thank you that City on a Hill Church has peace and that we're edified. And Lord, I thank you that we walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that we are multiplied. And then I pray it for the churches in the area here, because it says the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And then I pray it over the churches across our nation. Praise God. I pray that we will have peace. I pray that we'll have unity, that there'll be no division and dissension among us. And I pray that we'll have wholeness and well-being, because that's what peace means as well. Peace, the Hebrew word peace is shalom, and it means wholeness, well-being, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. Glory to God. That's another aspect of peace, amen, that we should have, that God wants us to have individually in our families and also collectively as a church. Praise God. And I pray that we'll be edified. It says they had peace and they were edified. That means built up and strengthened. And we talked about last week, we talked about one of the best ways, one of the most effective ways to do that, to be edified, is to pray in other tongues. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, charges himself up. Amen? And then the next two statements, though, tell us that the churches and the believers that made up these churches, that they were walking in to very important revelations. And so I just want to say this. It says they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to in a moment. But it says they were walking in. It says, and walking in. You see that? And walking in. And walking in. Praise God. All right. So they were walking in something. So to walk in something means it's become a lifestyle. Right? It's something that you're doing on a daily, regular, consistent basis. That's what walking in means. Amen. Yeah, in the Old Testament, the Lord told Israel, he said in Leviticus 26:3, says, walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. Walk in them. In other words, keep my commandments on a daily basis. Not just once a month, not just once a year, not just when you get in trouble. You're like, oh no, I better start straightening up and serving God now. No, walk in them. Amen. Walk in my command, walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. He told them repeatedly, walk in my ways. Walk in my ways. Let that be your lifestyle. Let God's ways be your lifestyle. Now, as new covenant believers in the new covenant, the Bible says we're called to walk by faith, aren't we? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We're also called to walk in love. Amen. That means faith should be a lifestyle. That means love should be a lifestyle with us. Amen. We're also called to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. That should be a lifestyle. Living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-directed life. That should be a lifestyle with us. Not just something that we touch once in a while, but a lifestyle. Amen? And here in this verse, we see that the churches and the believers who made up those churches were walking in two things. They were walking in the fear of the Lord, and they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, as a result of walking in the fear of the Lord and walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they were multiplied. They were multiplied. This is God's pattern. I've been pastoring for 30-something years now, and I've been to, I finally gave up on those things because most of them are just, well, I won't go there. But what used to be the rage, and probably still maybe still is, the church growth conference, church growth seminar, and everybody's got their little plan in their scheme, and you have to register and pay to go to it, and then you have to buy their program and all of that. And you know, I'm sure some were done with right motives, but I love what Dad Hagen after going through some of that, you know, and all of that, then Dad Hagen would say, you know, you just, what you need to do, and this is not the easiest thing to do, but it's a thing that works. He says, what you need to do is get down on your knees and pray and find out what God wants you to do, talking to pastors, and do that. Amen. Do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so that's, so. But this is a divine pattern for church growth here. He says they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they were multiplied. Amen? Praise God. And I believe it's important and necessary that we follow this divine pattern today. Now, I'm not talking about church growth. Pastor, do you want our church to grow? Certainly, I want our church to grow, but my ego's not tied to it. Amen. I don't want our church to grow from the motive of where, when I go and meet with other pastors and they say, well, how many did you have Sunday? Yeah, that's useless. Amen. It's just useless for that reason. Yes, we want to reach people. Yes, we want to see people come to the Lord. Yes, we want to see people get a hold of the Word of God. Amen. We definitely want that. And there's a multitude in our surrounding area that needs God. So from that motive and that standpoint, yes, we want to reach more people. Certainly. Amen. Praise God. But here's what we need to focus on as believers. These two principles, these two revelations, walk in the fear of the Lord and walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, we're going to talk about today walking in the fear of the Lord, and then the Lord willing, next week, talk about walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? Let's talk about that this morning. The Message Bible says they were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. Walking in the fear of the Lord, the Message translates that they were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Praise God. That's a good definition of the fear of the Lord. A deep sense of reverence for God. And do you know that's in a lot of cases, in a lot of ways, that's been lost in our generation. A deep sense of reverence for God. We get so flippant. You know, the pendulum seems to swing. You know, I know that, you know, maybe in times past, church was very rigid and very stuffy, and we don't want that. But in swinging the pendulum the other way, oh no, you know, you don't have to be rigid and stuffy, and you don't. But sometimes when we swing it the other way, we swing it too far, and we reject not only the religion and the formalism, but we throw out the reverence for God. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about that. Let's talk more about what that means. This permeated them. It says they were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. It means that it was reflected in their thoughts. This deep sense of reverence for God was it governed their thought process. It governed their words. It governed their decisions. It governed their actions. That's what it means to be permeated with something. It means it controls you. It governs you. Amen. Praise God. And this is a good fear. The fear of the Lord is a good fear. And we're taught, rightly so, that fear is bad. You know, that we shouldn't fear, that fear is the opposite of faith. Right? And that's true. And we should not be afraid of God like Adam and Eve were after they sinned. You know, they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden, and they went, they hid, they were afraid, and they hid themselves. So we shouldn't have a fear that's born of shame. Certainly not a fear of God that's born of shame. We shouldn't be afraid to approach God. Oh God, I've messed up. I'm unworthy. I'm afraid to approach you. No, we shouldn't be afraid to approach God because the blood gives us access. When we apply the blood, even when we have missed it, even when we have messed up, when we repent and we confess our sin, we can go boldly before God and know that the blood cleanses us and the blood gives us access to His presence. Amen? Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. But this fear that we're talking about, the fear of the Lord, it's a deep sense of reverence for the Lord. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 19, there's the account of Paul ministering at Ephesus, with such an anointing that the Bible says that that they brought handkerchiefs and aprons. We were using prayer cloths yesterday. This is where this comes from in the Scripture, that handkerchiefs and aprons were laid on Paul's body and saturated with the anointing of God and then taken to people that were sick and diseased and tormented with demons. And the Bible says the diseases were healed and the evil spirits went out of them. Praise God. So great things were happening. And as a result of this, there were these Jewish exorcists. They were brothers. And they were itinerant exorcists, and they went around purporting to cast demons out of people to give people relief. And they came to this man that was demon possessed, and they said, "We adjure you," or speaking to the demon, "We adjure you, we cast you out by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." And you remember the story: the evil spirit rose up and great power and spoke out of the man and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" In other words, they were not authorized to use that name. They were not born again. They were not in the body of Christ. They were not in the family of God. They were not authorized to use that name, but they were trying to use it. And the Bible says that man in whom the demons were, he overpowered them and beat them up and stripped their clothes off of them. So they ran out naked and wounded, the Bible says. And then the very next verse, verse 17, says this of Acts 19. It says, "This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus." And notice this, "And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So we know this was a good fear because it caused the name of Jesus to be magnified. Amen. Amen. The fear of God came into that city when this happened. Is that, were they afraid of the demon-possessed men? No, they stood in awe of what God was doing. They said, oh, wow, the power of God is great, but it's not something you can play with. You've got to be an authorized user. You've got to be authorized to use the name of Jesus, and there's great power in that name. Amen. And fear came, a wholesome fear came on that entire city, and the name of Jesus was magnified. Let's read it out of the New Living Translation. The story of what happened spread quickly throughout all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. Look at this. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Wow. What if that were to happen today? What if through our witness and through us walking in the authority that God's called us to walk in, and through our commitment to really following God and serving God, what if a solemn fear were to descend on our entire city? Wouldn't that be amazing? Say, well, that just couldn't happen today. Well, it happened more recently than Bible times, because here in our country in 1858 and 1859, which was right before the Civil War, as you know, which began in 1861. See, God was preparing people's hearts, and even at that time, there was a man in New York City named Jeremiah Lanphier. And he decided he was going to pray at noon, meet and pray at noon every day. And he started out, I think he prayed by himself the first few days. And then others started joining him, to finally, before long, it spread. And there were thousands of people meeting, not just with him, but all over the city. And it spread down the eastern seaboard. They were praying for revival and praying for God to work and to move in our nation. And to such an extent, and this is also the time that Charles Finney was holding his revivals. But here's what's reported that happened then. A canopy of holy and awesome revival influence, in reality the presence of the Holy Spirit, seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the United States, especially over the eastern seaboard. At times, this cloud of God's presence even seemed to extend out to sea. Those on ships approaching the East Coast at times felt a solemn, holy influence, even 100 miles away, without even knowing what was happening in America. So as ships were sailing toward America, even 100 miles away, this canopy of God's presence was over the eastern seaboard of our nation at that time, that the people on the ship started falling under conviction. Revival began aboard one ship before it reached the coast. People on board began to feel the presence of God and a sense of their own sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them, and they began to pray. As the ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, "Send a minister." Another small commercial ship arrived in port with the captain and every member of the crew converted in the last 150 miles. Ship after ship arrived with the same story. Both passengers and crew were suddenly convicted of sin and turned to Christ before they reached the American coast. Amen. Praise God. The battleship North Carolina was anchored in New York Harbor as a naval receiving ship. More than 1,000 young men were on board. Four Christians agreed to meet together for prayer and knelt on the lower deck. The Spirit of God so filled their hearts with joy that they broke into song. Ungodly men on the top deck heard the singing, looked down and saw the boys kneeling. They began running down the stairs, mocking and jeering. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit so gripped them that by the time they reached the bottom deck, they fell on their knees and began crying for mercy. They're mocking and laughing at them, and start running down to where they're at. And by the time they get down to the deck that they're at, they're under conviction, crying out for mercy. Strong men who were deep in sin were broken down by the Spirit's power and knelt humbly in penitence and faith. Night after night, the sailors prayed, and hundreds were converted on the ship. Ministers were sent for, and they came out from shore to help in the gracious work of the Spirit. The battleship became a mighty center of revival. Converts of the movement, completing their periods of training, were sent out to other Navy ships wherever they went, revival fires were kindled in other naval vessels. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All of that, a sense, a solemn sense of the presence of God settled over them and settled over our nation at that time. Praise God. I say, Lord, do it again. Amen. 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 And continue to read in Acts 19 and verse 18, he says, many who became believers when this solemn fear descended, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. So there were believers that they'd accepted Jesus, but yet they still had stuff going on in their lives that they knew wasn't right. And when this solemn fear came on them, they said, we got to get this right. We got to deal with this. We got to quit playing with sin. We got to quit playing with these things and allowing these strongholds in our lives. And they did. They came and they confessed and they repented. Praise God. Amen. See, the fear of the Lord will open our eyes to areas of sin in our lives and give us the motivation to deal with it. Amen. Praise God. And look at the result. Acts 19 verse 20 tells us what happened as a result. In verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Amen. Maybe that's why the word of the Lord is not growing mightily and prevailing more to a greater extent in our nation. It's because believers haven't been walking in the fear of the Lord. But as we walk in the fear of the Lord, then the word of the Lord can grow mightily and prevail. Amen. So let's talk about the fear of the Lord. I want us to look at what the aspects are of the, what does it mean? What does it mean, walk in the fear? I like to break it down where we can get a hold of it and where we can understand it. So what does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? Well, let's go to Psalm 34. And we have a good dissertation here on the fear of the Lord, what it means. Psalm 34, verse 11. He says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So he's getting ready to teach us what it is, right? Yeah. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, what is it? Verse 12, he says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. All right, so that's aspect number one of the fear of the Lord. It might not be what you thought it was going to be. But number one, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. If you and I are walking in the fear of the Lord, then we're going to keep our tongue from evil and we're going to keep our lips from speaking deceit. Dad Hagin used to say, we do more sinning with our tongue than any other member of our body. Amen. Amen. See, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we won't use our words to tear down people. Amen. If we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we won't gossip. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just nod your head and smile and say amen, and nobody will know that I'm talking about you today. So. Hallelujah. Hopefully this is hitting all of us, though. Amen. In a good way. In a good way. Amen. No, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, then we're going to be doing what he says in Ephesians 4. We're going to be speaking the truth in love. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking deceitfully involves not only telling an out lie, but, hopefully most of us or all of us would not do that. But, you know, I'm sure we've all been guilty of telling the facts or telling a story that cause us to look favorable and maybe the person we're talking about to look not so favorable. Amen. But that's only one side of the story. Amen. It's easy to twist or to slant the story to give a false impression. Even when we're, that did happen, Pastor. They did say that to me. Yeah, but what did you say to them first? Amen. You know, we have to be careful that we give a true impression of things when we relate something. Are you listening? Yes. Amen. So keep your tongue. If we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. See, it's deception. It's giving someone a wrong impression to, even though you may be telling facts, to present it in such a way that it twists that really the impression of what really was happening. Are you following me? You know, amen. And we've probably all been guilty of that. Amen. You can repent right now. Amen. You should. Amen. Number two, he says in verse 14, he says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Praise God. So aspect number two of walking in the fear of the Lord is this: depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. That's a two-part action, but it's inseparable. Amen. It's inseparable. God's Word translation says, turn away from evil. The Message says, turn your back on sin. In fact, that's what repent. Repent means to, you're going this direction, but repent means to turn 180 degrees and go in the other direction. Amen. That's what repent means. Praise God. So turn your back on sin. Amen. So whatever area the devil's been using to entrap you, turn your back on that. Amen. Go in the other direction. Amen. Amen. To walk in the fear of the Lord means, you know, God, I want everything you have for me, and I want to please you, and I want to walk in the fullness of your plan. So I'm going to turn my back on sin. I'm going to turn and go the other way. Amen. Amen. And not only that, but replace it with the positive. The Bible, in the New Testament, the Bible talks about repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Amen. It's not just repentance from, it's faith toward. Amen. Praise God. You have to replace that with a positive. Depart from evil and do good. Amen. See, following God, walking in the fear of the Lord, it's not just about not doing the nots, but it's about doing the do's. Did you get that? It's not just not doing the knots. Well, we don't do that, and we don't do that. And see, that can devolve quickly into just religious formalism. Amen. So it's not just doing the knots. Don't do the knots, but it's, I'm not just not doing the knots because I just want to not do the knots. I want to do the do's. We're dead to sin, but we're alive to God. Paul wrote in Romans. Amen. We're dead to sin. No, don't just be dead. Be alive to God. That's the problem with too many Christians. Yeah, they've got the dead to sin part, but they've never come alive to God. Amen. We're to be dead to sin, alive to God. We depart from evil and we do good. Amen. And then he says this in that verse, which is aspect number three of walking in the fear of the Lord. He says, seek peace and pursue it. That's walking in the fear of the Lord. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, I realize right now we're living in our country in a very polarized time, aren't we? We need to have discernment. We need to have discernment. Amen. The Scripture directs us to seek peace and to pursue it. Amen. And, I don't think the Scripture teaches unity at the expense of sacrificing the truth. Well, we just want unity with everybody, so we're going to forget about, you know, the LGBT people. We don't want to make them mad, so we're going to forget those verses in the Bible that call that sin because we want unity. The Bible says unity. And see, no, we can't do that, can we? Amen. Doesn't mean we're hateful. Doesn't mean we're mean. Doesn't mean we're mean-spirited about it. Amen. It doesn't mean we can't still love the person while not condoning the sin. Right? Amen. Praise God. So, because Scripture says this, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, what fellowship is there between light and darkness? Doesn't he? Well, what is there? None. Right? There is no fellowship between light and darkness. And if people are going to insist on walking in darkness, we can't fellowship with them and walk in the light. If we're walking in the light, we can't fellowship with them, right? Amen. All right. But on the other hand, we are to seek peace and pursue it. The New Living Translation says, search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Now, again, just to give the other side here, I'm not talking about walking on eggshells and indulging and enabling someone that's selfish and aggressive and boorish. I'm not talking, oh, well, we don't want to do anything to make them mad. Oh, we don't want to do anything to upset them. You see that, you know, you see that in families sometimes. That's not what he's talking about when he says working to maintain peace. It's not that you let yourself be a doormat, and it's not that you just enable someone that's selfish and just aggressively, you know, just going about just doing whatever, don't care about anybody else's feelings or concern. We're not talking about that. Amen. But we're talking about walking in the peace of God. And among us as believers, endeavoring to maintain that peace. In fact, Bible says that in Ephesians 4, verse 3, says, endeavoring, look at this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. We have that one, Ephesians 4, 3, there we go. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. So keeping unity and peace is an endeavor. Amen. It's not just something that's going to automatically happen. We have to work at it. We have to work at it. Why? Because we all have flesh, and we all want to have our say. Amen. And we all can let our feelings dominate us. Amen. Are you out there? Is this making sense? Amen. Now, our opening text in Acts 9, it says the churches had what? They had peace. They had peace. Why? Because the believers were walking in the fear of the Lord. And as a result, they were pursuing peace. They were seeking peace and pursuing it. They didn't just have peace because God said, you know, I think I'm just going to let this peace descend on you and everybody's just going to be happy. No, we have to work at that. I said, we have to work at that. Amen. Glory to God. We have to repent. You know, when we miss it, we have to watch our tongue. We have to, amen, we have to choose to walk in love. We have to choose to forgive. Come on, this is good preaching here today. Amen. Praise God. And so the fear of the Lord, when we talk about the fear of the Lord puts God first. The fear, that's basically what it is. The fear of the Lord, when they walked in the fear of the Lord, it means they were putting God first. The fear of the Lord causes us to ask in every situation, what does the Lord think about this? What does the Word say? If you're really allowing the fear of the Lord to control your life and to dominate your life in every situation, you and I are going to say, what does the Word say about this situation? What does God say about this situation? And you're going to set your, you're going to decide what you're going to do based on that. Not just like, well, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I feel. Amen? Are you out there? Praise God. And this, the fear of the Lord will deliver us from the fear of man. If we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we will be delivered from the fear of man. Amen? The book of Hebrews tells us that Noah, how many animals did Moses take on the ark? That's the old trick question. None, because Moses wasn't on the ark. So I told you it was a trick question. Yeah, he took all of them. Yeah, he took some of all of them. Noah did, but Noah, it was Noah, right? But Hebrews says Noah. Hebrews 11 says Noah was moved with godly fear. He was moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. It was the fear of God that motivated him to do that, and it was also faith. The fear of God really is faith. It's really faith and trust in God. Amen? It was the fear of the Lord, I'm sure, that empowered Joseph in the Old Testament after he had been taken down to Egypt, and he was serving in Potiphar's house. When Potiphar's wife came to seduce him and to entice him, it was the fear of the Lord in Joseph's life that Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Think about that. Lesser men would have said, oh, well, God's let me down. God let me be taken, captive. God, let me be, you know, my brothers hated me, threw me in the pit, sold me as a slave. You know, God let this happen. Why did God let this happen? And the temptation comes along and he says, well, I don't care about God. I'm going to yield to the temptation. But thank God he was dominated by the fear of the Lord to the extent that he said, I cannot commit this great wickedness and sin against God. It was the fear of the Lord keeping him. It was the fear of the Lord steadying him. Amen. Amen. We need the fear of the Lord today in our lives. Amen. It was the fear of the Lord that caused Daniel and the three Hebrew children to refuse to eat the delicacies that were offered to them by the king of Babylon. They were taken captive in Babylon, and they were chosen to go through the 3 years of training. And part of that training was they would get to eat the delicacies of the, you know, the menu that the king had determined they could eat. And Daniel said, and the three Hebrew children said, no, we can't eat this. This violates our covenant with God. We can't eat this. And they talked the steward into bringing them just vegetables. But then after the time of examination, after 10 days, they were found healthier and better in better health than those that were eating the king's delicacies. And so God gave them favor in that. But it was the fear of the Lord that caused them to hold to that commitment. It was the fear of the Lord that gave Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, you may know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was the fear of the Lord that caused them to stand up when everybody else was bowing down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Amen? Praise God. And they were not afraid of the consequences. Nebuchadnezzar even gave them another chance. He said, hey, boys, come in here. Now look, maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you didn't understand what was happening. Maybe you didn't understand you were supposed to bow down when the music played. I'm going to give you another chance. Now, when the music's played, if you'll bow down, fine. But I have to warn you, if you don't, here's the fiery furnace. And they said, we don't have to think about this. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to talk about it. Why? They were governed and motivated by the fear of the Lord. They said, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If our God whom we serve, you know, he's able to deliver us. But even if we're not delivered, we're not going to bow down. Amen? We are committed. That was the fear of the Lord. It was the fear of the Lord that motivated Daniel sometime later, that when King Darius had signed the decree that no prayer was to be made, that prayer was banned for 30 days, the very next day, Daniel opened his windows and three times a day, he bowed down on his knees and prayed toward Jerusalem. He knew he'd be seen. He knew people would report him, but that didn't stop him. What was that? That was the fear of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. And I believe it was the fear of the Lord that was guiding the life of Tanner Cross. He was in the news this week. I don't know if you heard about him. But Tanner Cross teaches physical education at an elementary school in Virginia, or at least he did. He's been put on leave now. He made an impassioned speech at the Loudoun County School Board meeting last week in relation to the new policies about gender identity there, including forcing the staff to refer to students using the pronoun of their choice rather than of their biological sex. And here's what Mr. Cross said. He said, my name is Tanner Cross. He's a young man. My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who are suffering from gender dysphoria, Cross told the board. He went on to discuss a 60-minute special about the issue. 60 Minutes, this past Sunday, interviewed over 30 young people who had transitioned their gender, but they felt led astray because of the lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies. And they're now, they said, uh-oh, and they're now wanting to detransition and go back to what their birth gender is. Well, sometimes there's been irreversible damage done with some of these treatments and some of the things that are done to them. And nobody's telling these children, hey, why don't you wait until you're an adult? Why don't you wait until the frontal cortex has developed before you make a life-altering decision? We make them do that with drugs and with alcohol. Amen. He said this, Tanner Cross said this, "It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies that would damage children and defile the holy image of God. I love all my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first," he said. That's living in the fear of the Lord. That's someone who's governed, their life is governed by the fear of the Lord. He said, "I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God." Thank God for him. Thank God for him. Amen. Praise God. We pray, Lord, we pray that you embolden him and you give him favor and that you bless him. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's go look at a story. I know we're getting late here, but let's go to a story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 18. Aren't you glad that I'm not also going to talk about the comfort of the Holy Spirit today? There's a lot on the fear of the Lord. Say, "Pastor, we need the comfort of the Holy Spirit after this message." So, well, we'll get it next week. You'll just have to come back next week. You'll just have to kind of hang out there this week and let God work you over about the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's how he works us over with his word, thank God. He chastens us with his word. He corrects us with his word. He's not going to put you in a car wreck to correct you. He's not going to put a disease on you to correct you. He's giving you the word right now if you'll receive it. Hello. 1 Kings 18 verse 3, "And Ahab had called Obadiah." Remember who Ahab was? Ahab was a wicked king. Ahab and Jezebel, remember? He was a very wicked king. But I want you to look at this. "And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house." So Obadiah is like chief administrator in the kingdom of Ahab, right? He's in charge of his house. Now Obadiah did what? Feared the Lord greatly. Obadiah, now this is amazing to me, and this is something that the Lord called to my attention some time back as we're praying, especially as we're praying for this, for the current administration in our nation. God says, you know, "I've got my people in any administration, good or bad." Amen. There are people like Obadiah in the Biden administration. There are people that fear the Lord greatly serving in the Biden administration. I'm convinced of that. And I'm praying that God would bless them and strengthen them and use them. Amen. And help them be a source of godly counsel to this presidential administration. Amen. All right. "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." Well, here's what he did, because if you look at this. "For so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water." Amen. Because he feared the Lord, he protected and he provided for the prophets of the Lord that were being persecuted by Jezebel. That's why God had him in that position, so he could do that. God knew what was ahead, and God positioned one of his servants, one of his people that feared him greatly. And when Jezebel began her campaign of persecuting the prophets and killing and massacring the prophets of the Lord, he was able to rescue 100 of them. He was able to think about all these wonderful stories that we hear. Now, again, as we look at the Holocaust, it's horrific that 6 million, were killed at the hands of the Nazis and Hitler. But think about all the wonderful stories we've heard of the thousands that were saved because people feared the Lord and stepped up and worked against that evil. Amen? Amen. From Schindler to from Oscar Schindler all the way through, many others. Many others throughout. Corrie Ten Boom. Amen. So he did that. He resisted the evil Jezebel, but he did it discreetly. He was able to maintain his position in the government, and yet he was able to protect the servants of God. And it was the fear of the Lord that motivated him and empowered him to do that. He feared the Lord greatly. All right. and Mike, come on back up if you would. I want to give us now the benefits. You know, there can be a risk, as Tanner Cross discovered. He's been put on leave from his job. He's been suspended from his job as a teacher because of his stance. So there can be a cost. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out there was a cost, amen, to standing for God and pursuing the fear of the Lord. There can be a risk. There can be a cost. But the Scripture's clear that there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of benefits that come to those who fear the Lord. I want to list a few of them for us this morning. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So number one, the fear of the Lord gives us wisdom. The fear of the Lord gives us wisdom. We're able to see. What is wisdom? Being able to see from God's perspective. If we allow our lives to be governed by the fear of the Lord, our eyes will be open to God's wisdom, and we can see things. Not we can't see everything He sees, obviously, but we can begin to see from His perspective. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Here's another one. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So the fear of the Lord gives us long life. Amen. The fear of the Lord gives us long life. Praise God. That's a pretty good blessing, isn't it? If we walk in the fear of the Lord, God says one of the benefits of that is long life. Your days will be prolonged. You know, that kind of blows out of the water that God has an appointed time for you to die. Amen? He doesn't. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. The Bible says that in Hebrews. No. It says this. It says it is appointed unto man to die once. You know, barring the return of Jesus in our lifetime, you will die one time. That's appointed. When you do, you have some say-so. There are things we can do to lengthen our days. If we honor our father and mother, well, that's the fear of the Lord. You're following what God's command is. If we honor our father and mother, the Bible says it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Amen. We can do things to lengthen our days. If we walk in the fear of the Lord, it will prolong our days. Amen. Number three, we find in Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Let's get that one up there, Grayson. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Praise God. And His children will have a place of refuge. So number three, the third benefit, the fear of the Lord gives us confidence. Again, the New Living there says, those who fear the Lord are secure. Those who fear the Lord are secure. If your trust and your hope is in the Lord, and you've given your life to Him, and you're living your life in reverence to Him, then you know He's got your back. You know He's got your best interest at heart. You know that there's no enemy, there's no adversary, there's nothing that can come against you because God's on your side. Because God's on your side. Because you've chosen to be on His side. That's what they asked Lincoln in the Civil War. Mr. President, do you believe God's on our side? He said, that's not my concern. My concern is, are we on His side? Are we on His side? So when you place yourself on His side, He's got your back. Are you listening? Praise God. Those who fear the Lord aren't afraid about the future. They have confidence. They're secure. Amen. Glory to God. All through 2020, we didn't have to fear. We didn't have to fear. Everybody was pulling their hair out and going crazy in the media. We didn't have to. We knew God would take care of us. We knew God would see us through. And He did. With style. Amen. Glory. Amen. Proverbs, the very next verse, Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Praise God. So I put it this way in the point. Point number four, the fear of the Lord gives us divine protection and guidance. The fear of the Lord gives us divine protection and guidance. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it turns us away from the snares of death. That's protection. That's guidance. So wait a minute, Pastor. I thought it was the angels that protected us. Well, you're right and I'm right both. Because Psalm 34 verse 7 says this, the angel of the Lord encamps all around who? Who? Who does the angel of the Lord encamp around? Those who fear Him. And that angel delivers them. Delivers who? Them that fear Him. Them that fear Him. Amen? Now, I believe this is, he's talking not only about physical protection, but spiritually as well. Proverbs 14:27 in the Message says this, "The fear of God is a spring of living water." Look at this now. "So you won't go off drinking from poisoned wells." The fear of the Lord will keep you grounded in the Word of God. There's a lot of folks that go off, even Christians, they go off drinking from poisoned wells. False doctrine. Weird ideas, weird philosophies that are unscriptural. But if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we're gonna recognize those. And we're gonna be safeguarded from going down those paths and drinking from those poisoned wells. Amen. Proverbs 15:16 says this: "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." So point number five is this: with the fear of the Lord, you can do more with less. You can do more with less. Amen? He says that better is the fear of the Lord. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Amen. Now, Jesus fed the 5,000, didn't he, with what? Five loaves and two fish. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to stay with a little. Because our next point is going to tell us that. But when you have little, if you have little with the fear of the Lord, it's going to be enough. Amen. If you have little with the fear of the Lord, God can stretch it. God can multiply it. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So last point, point number six, we find in Proverbs 22, verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." By humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, it's interesting that the word "and," you can't see it here on this display, but if you're reading a New King James Bible, you'll see, you check it out, you'll see that the word "and" is italicized. And anytime you find a word italicized in the Bible, if you're reading a real translation of the Bible, and that word is italicized, it doesn't mean, we italicize things for emphasis, but it actually, italicized words in the Bible means they were not in the original, but the translator added it, thinking to bring clarity. So it literally says, by humility, the fear of the Lord. "And" is missing. By humility, the fear of the Lord. In other words, really what he could be saying is, by humility, and he said, and really he's saying, and by that I mean the fear of the Lord. You get that? So humility is the fear of the Lord too. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Humility equals the fear of the Lord. And so with that, with this aspect of the fear of the Lord, he says there's riches and there's honor and there's life. That's a pretty good benefit, huh? I said that's a pretty good benefit. Yeah, there may be some cost to standing up for truth and righteousness and walking in the fear of the Lord. But there's a lot of benefits that outweigh the cost. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Bound. But they came out loosed. Without any smell of smoke. And neither was a hair of their head singed. Amen? Praise God. The New Living says riches and honor and long life. So there it is again, long life, when we walk in the fear of the Lord. Those disciples there in Acts 9, in Galilee, in Judea, and Samaria, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They had peace, and they were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord. And I want to challenge each and every one of us to walk in the fear of the Lord, to put God first, to reverence Him, to honor Him, to not let the fear of man intimidate us, to not let the fear of man cause us to draw back, but to have our confidence in God and to seek to honor Him in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now.